There we are. I pushed it hard. It didn't go. Thank you. All I said was, thank you. And then I was thrilled to see the way David was thrilled with what he found in the Word of God and was able to share and to put in such a form that the Haitians would be able to understand it in their context. And that was his burden. I was thrilled also to see the fun that he had with what he was able to do with his hands, because I never expected David to be a preacher. He was going to be an engineer, I thought. But you see, when in one church he was going to in Piétonville, it's a large church, a huge place, and it's in a fairly prosperous neighborhood of Port-au-Prince. They were able to afford putting together and several contributions to afford a light plant. Because you see, when the lights go out in the city, you can imagine what happens to the PA system in the church. And it's a large church, and they needed a PA system. So they got a good generator group to be able to give them some electricity to take care of all this. Incidentally, when you're in Haiti, it's hard on the ears because they don't just turn the volume up a bit. It's got to be up the top. And the sound has to echo in there or else they're not satisfied. And that's hard on your ears. But the thing is that this group was located in the stairwell at back of the church. And so it echoed up and down in that stairwell. And it was hard on the preacher to be able to preach against that and the people to listen. So what David did was to construct a little, you know the problem we had down here at the RV park. He constructed a frame around it to protect it so the noise couldn't get out. Well, that's one thing. And he was able to understand how to do it, you see. And he realized, well, that's okay, but you have to have air circulation. So he told me how he got one kind of a fan from one source and put it in there. That was to draw it through. Another fan to push it that the other direction. And with those two fans, even with this covering over it, it was able to get enough air to ventilate it properly, and the sound was cut down. You see, on the mission field, you can use anything you know, and it'll be used for the good of God's people, and it ends up being something you can praise the Lord for. Well, I won't get further on that. I'll wait until Elmer helps complete on that part. So I appreciated seeing him and his work. I had asked for prayer because I was concerned about not being able to communicate well in French. Well, I was able to scrape up enough to get by with until I started talking to the French missionary. And then I had to listen carefully, and I still had to ask him to repeat several times. So I know there's a lack there. But praise the Lord, when I was asked to speak at their seminary in Bolos, the STEP, they call it, the Evangelical Seminary of Port-au-Prince, I was a little bit fearful about what I'd be able to do. And David said, well, in that case, I write it out. So, being an adult son and realizing you've got to take the counsel of your adult children now, I did write it out. And I ended up having to read some of it, but some of it was a little freer. I got by. And the director of STEP, who happens to be a friend of ours, who was at Dallas one of the times we were there, said to me afterwards, he said, you got your French back pretty well, but your message was a little bit technical. So I asked Dave what that meant. See, you can get help from your children. And he said, well, you use some things in the Psalms that perhaps I wouldn't. Incidentally, I use the same message I preached here in Psalm 93, talking about the parallelism and all that. And so one of the teachers came and said, my students were really thrilled with your message because they said, we were the only ones in the whole congregation that knew what the parallelism meant. because they were studying the poetic books in their school. So David said, well, I learned in seminary, when you have something like that, you teach the concept first, and then you use the terminology. I see that Will Castle is nodding his head. You see, you can learn things from your children, you know that? And you praise the Lord for it. Anyway, that was part of the specials in the trip. I don't have any pictures of Ginger in her work. And the reason is, she's so busy all the time. Now, when she's at home, she's a hostess. And at the table, I don't think there were more than two or three times when we had only our own family there. There are always Haitians and visitors and missionaries that were sitting around the table. That's one of her big ministries, is hospitality. Now, I noticed after the meal, she would go over and sit with some of those Haitian friends. They had a difficult time when we have visitors come because the conversation has to be at least partly in English. So she'd go over and speak Creole with them and find out how they are and what they're doing, so that it wasn't just the mass group at the table, but she was spending time with them. And of course, she's always looking for opportunities to be able to encourage them on in things of the Lord. That's a tremendous gift that she has. She was running errands for the Lemuel organization, taking the truck and running around town. And she knows how to drive in that city. You need experience to drive there because they don't go by rules at all. Oh, yes, they do have a traffic light that happened to work one time, but people don't necessarily believe it and work with it. So you've got to be on your guard to see what the other fellow's going to do. But if you keep waiting patiently for him to give you time to go, you'll never go. You've got to stick your nose out there a bit and say, hey, let me go this time. And just hope that the fellow there is not one of the fellows that's so much pressed that he'll cut out before you. Well, anyway. But she knows how to do it right. She says, you've got to talk to the other driver. She said, otherwise, you get ulcers. And there were visitors that had come to visit the work in Haiti, especially for the Lemuel organization. There was one Afro-American that came from Canada. She was going to what used to be London Bible College there, and her professor, her missions professor, had worked out a project for the class to work on in Haiti. But he invited her to go along because he knew she had been for a short term for several weeks in the summer a couple of years ago, and she'd worked in the Lemuel school. So when he gave her the opportunity, she jumped on board and she came down. And there she was living with Dave and Ginger. Judy had to get out of her room to give me a place to sleep. She was sleeping in the office, and Kathleen, this other girl, was sleeping in the office too. So the house was recently full at that time. When Kathleen went, then Rich and Bev and Janet came. And Rich and Bev lived in the motel, the place they have for the visitors, and Janet stayed with Judy in the office because she was only going to be there a short time. So they're full of visitors. And, of course, they're able to help them with lodging and with meals and with some understanding of the Haitian culture as well. Ginger's main work then is with what's called the Lemuel organization. I'll talk about it in a couple of minutes. She works as medical consultant. She used to be treasurer. But praise the Lord, they found a Haitian who's been trained in school teaching and has a gift of working with numbers, and he's taken over that job. So that little by little, she's working herself out of a job, so that when they leave in June, the work will be able to run rather smoothly. At least the positions will be filled. And that's where prayer comes in, of course, that Lord might be able to help these Haitians to keep on with the same dedication that they have now. There's a medical ministry also at the Plateau. That's a word that many of you have heard. It's a place up in the Northwest Peninsula behind the town that's named Anfrouge. And it's a destitute area also. The place that Manice had come from, the director of Lemuel organization. And Ginger has taken medical groups up there to help them with their medical needs too. One doctor from Orange Park, in fact, went, and the remark he had when he came back was, I didn't have to use much of my medical expertise. All the problems they have could be traced to malnutrition and dehydration. So you can see something of the need of the folk. Incidentally, dehydration means you don't get enough water. And that's why they're trying to get a well dug up there. And that's why they're fighting through the spiritual battle right now, because they had everything all set to go. But then the permission fell through. Now, how you can have permission all set and have it fall through, you have to be on the field to understand that. But anyway, we don't have to understand all that here, but we can pray. And so that's still the big prayer request, that the well might have, we might have permission for the property where they want to drill the well. And it's not just for the local folk. It'll cover a large area. They'll be able to pipe it in many spots, many villages. So it will be a real outreach demonstration of the love of Christ and an in for talking about the gospel. So please pray for the well. In August, the Lemuel organization was able to purchase property, a home, a big rambling house that was big enough to take care of most of the needs of the Lemuel school and offices. And at that purchase, of course, somebody had to work in getting things in order, the painting of the rooms and the home decorating that was involved. And Ginger, again, was not only advising and directing, but she was pitching in and helping. And David said, well, I had a list of honeydew projects, too, in connection with that. So that was a point of rejoicing when they could have their own building. It's right off the campus of the church, the Evangelical Church of Haiti, Evangelical Baptist Church of Haiti, the campus in which they're living. David's involved in TEE, and we'll see some of that. He'd written 24 courses to go with it. They're all written, they're all published. But it takes editing, and it takes the printing, because they're much in demand. People have recognized that it's really written for the Haitian culture, and it fits in. They're able to use it, and the Haitians rejoice in learning God's truth with it. So they have to keep on publishing it, but that's in Haitian hands now. David is also field leader for UFM in the area. And it's a different job from what it used to be. Missionaries are not out and active and doing jobs themselves. They're working with the church and encouraging the church, and in particular jobs where the church needs a little special help. So David has the responsibility then mainly of caring for the personnel in among the missionaries. That means when the new missionaries come, to be able to help them to make the shift to the Haitian culture. And when missionaries are there and find they're knocking their heads against the wall because they're given to do a job that they can't fulfill because it's sort of impossible in the Haitian culture, well, then David can come alongside and explain the impossibilities and relieve some of their tensions and help point out to them the things they can do. And he can stand with the church, too, and say, hey, you've got to take care of that missionary if you want to keep him. So he's kind of caught in between the two, but he's able to understand the Haitian pastors as well as the missionaries. That brings me to my scripture passage. It's Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, verses 1 to 9. Proverbs, the book of God's wisdom. The words of Lemuel, King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his ministry no more. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and please the cause of the poor and needy. There was a Haitian, well-educated Haitian, who read these words, and he couldn't get them out of his mind and heart. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. He couldn't get that out of his mind. He prayed about it. He wanted to do something to be able to speak for the poor and needy. Now, Manice Deluz, and that's the fellow's name, had been a street urchin himself. His father had left his mother when he was young, and there were four other children in the family. And so when he was older, he had to try to work to help his mother. But in all of the difficulty, of course, he got into difficulty also as a young man without any father's help and without any real occupation or income. But somebody took pity on him and realized that he was a bright fellow and got him into school and off to be educated. And he went through and was able to go through pedagogical school, teacher training school, to teach school. So he had an occupation. Later on down the line, he got a job with a recording studio, a Christian recording studio. And when Ginger was working with the Alabanza singing group, they were working out of that studio, and Manice was connected with it. Then Ginger got into the picture, because one day Manice went to Ginger. He said, Gigi, would you pray with me about a project? We can get together once a week and pray. And Ginger said, sure, I'll do that. What is it? He said, well, we'll pray about it first. And for 6 months, they had their weekly prayer meeting. And they prayed for the Lord, for his mind about this project. All the time, Ginger didn't have a ghost of an idea what it was. Then finally, Manice told her. He said, Gigi, I'd like to be the spokesman for the poor and needy. I'd like to start a barefoot school. Now, that's a school where you bring kids in off the street, you sit them down on a tarpaulin. They come barefoot because that's where they are. And so you bring them in just as they are, you start teaching them, and you bring them along little by little, and you get to a point where they're rewarded for good conduct by being able to sit in a chair. And then you bring in the desk. So by the end of the year, they're able to go to school sitting down at a desk and chair. And they worked on that for the first year. And now they've not only had that group, and that group is going on, and most of those children are now in the regular school system. Because they, as it is now, they bring him in the first year, but it's no longer barefoot. They have sponsors that are helping them, and they outfit the children with very simple school uniforms, T-shirt, top, and simple skirt for the girls, and simple shorts for the boys. And they teach them then in Creole, and when they finish the first year, they take them on for a second year and third year till they're really prepared to go on in the regular school system. But they don't just let them go when they graduate from the third year. They follow them up. They bring them back and said, now you are still responsible to your sponsor. They have a Sunday morning service there in the Lemuel House, and they have to come to that. They have a prayer meeting on Saturday night. They have to come to that. And they have the kids club on Sunday afternoon. That's where Judy is. And they have to come to that. So my niece is still keeping track of them. Some of the children come from, well, they all come from difficult backgrounds, and some more than others. There's one fellow that came, one of the young people, and he said, he came in, I don't know how he ever got interested in it, but he did and he came, but he was a pagan. You could tell in the way he reacted. Hey, are you still using that term, pagan? It means unsaved, and it means they don't behave in any way at all that's reasonable. So he came in, and he came from a home without a father, but the mother was a witch, and she always wanted to get him involved in her witchcraft. And of course, he was ornery. But eventually, he got saved. You see, the Lord is able to help if you keep him under the sound of the gospel. He got saved. And he came to Manice and said, now please, take me out of this home situation. I go home, and my mother's a witch, and she's casting spells here and there. I'm afraid to go there. Manice said, no, I won't do that. You've accepted Christ as Savior. He's living in your heart. You've got to take Christ back to your home and live for him there. And the fellow didn't like it, but he did do it. And now, if I understand correctly, his mother's not saved, but she's respecting more his position and what he's doing. She's seen the change in him. And they're praying, of course, about the witness of this fellow. He has encouraged some. And this fellow is in a special discipleship class that Ginger is teaching every Sunday afternoon before that kids' club. David taught that class one of the Sundays I was there. There were only three boys in it, but he said it was thrilling to see their interest in the Word of God and the response to it. Because you need to get them saved. But man, you need to have opportunity for them to grow in the Lord. And Manice understands that. And he's working with these kids. He's working with them one-on-one from time to time also. We praise the Lord for the opportunity of witness that's given there. Actually, in the Lemuel projects, there are three levels of work now. The one is those that are in the school. There are about between 50 and 60 in the school now. About a dozen in first year, 30 in second year, and about a dozen in the third year also. And then there are the children that have gone on further, and they're in secular school, and I explained they're following them up. They're still in the program being followed up. Then there's a third classification of those that are youth in secondary school, but they're in difficult backgrounds as far as their home is concerned. And they bring them into the kids' club and Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon, Sunday morning as well, and Saturday afternoon prayer meeting. They bring them into all those things as well, so that they're being followed up. So the outreach is not just in the school. The school now has three teachers, separate teachers. Manice doesn't have to teach anymore, and neither does Ginger, although Ginger does teach some special classes now and then. So the organization is going, and is in need of the hand of the Lord to keep it going straight. So I'd like now to show you some of the glimpses of the work there. So if I can get organized, I'll go on down to the projector and turn that on, and then we can get into the slides. We could have the screen down. Thank you. someone would get the lights, please. When our son David, his wife Ginger, and their daughter Judy were at the park for Eleanor's memorial service, they invited me to visit them in Haiti. And the Lord worked it out that I was able to do that. At the end of November and into the beginning of December, I spent in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, in the Beloss campus of the Union of Evangelical Baptist Churches of Haiti. That's the place where David, Ginger, and Judy live. This breakfast was unusual because it was only our family there. They usually had many missionary and Haitian guests. Judy, a high school senior at Kiskaya Christian School in the city, is involved in history reports composed on a computer and also extracurricular activities such as the Christmas Bazaar run by the senior class. Judy is vice president, had leadership responsibility. She is also up to her ears in work for the Lemuel organization, but more of that later. My visit permitted me to have time with the family and also time to renew acquaintance with Haitians I had met on earlier trips, such as Pastor Solange from Verette. David is still responsible for publishing the TE materials that he produced. Some years ago now, David gave the prayer request for the acquisition of a paper cutter. John Forrest heard of it, and he and James Gilbert thought of the cutter that Park of the Palms had used, but was just sitting in storage. The cutter was cleaned up, crated, and it was shipped to Haiti. Now it's an important part of the production of the TEE books. Larger size paper is purchased and cut, giving a substantial savings. The TEE office is now operated by Haitian co-workers. Evans, a student at STEP, the seminary on campus, cares for the printing, collating, inventory, receiving orders, and shipping. Luke, another STEP student, carries out the translation necessary from the original Creole into French and does all of the editing necessary. And this editing comes as he and Ashton, another co-worker, teach pilot courses and also from field experience. David also carries the responsibility of field leader for UFM in Haiti. This involves encouraging missionaries, but also church leaders such as Pastor Solange. The first Sunday of my visit, David preached at the Ebenezer Baptist Church in St. Mark. That church is without a pastor at the moment, and various missionaries and Haitian pastors have been filling in to encourage the folk. The seminary building of STEP, the Advanced Training for Church Leaders for their work in Haiti. This is the Evangelical Seminary of Port-au-Prince on the Beloss campus. David is involved in a particular project for the seminary, that of teaching the student wives. And on Saturday morning, he has a class of student and staff wives, and he's teaching to them some of his TEE material. Through comments on individual homework as well as classroom discussion, he helps them increase their Bible knowledge and think through the principles involved in their ministries with the women in their church. There are only 8 wives able to take all of Saturday morning for this, but they are highly motivated and put what they are learning to practice in their service in their husbands' churches. David also has occasional input into the training of the men students. When one professor was away, he taught the book of Habakkuk in 2 two-hour sessions. Over the walls of the church campus in Beloss, and in olden days we'd have called that a mission station, but it belongs to the church now. And over the walls of this campus lie 3 of the city slums, one on the right, one on the left, and one above it. They're small concrete block dwellings with corrugated metal roofs, closely packed together. Many of the slum dwellers are destitute, the children roaming the streets without any care or possibility of either work or study. And this was the inspiration for Lemuel Projects. Here is Manish Deluce, the school teacher who grew up on the streets, had special opportunity for training, and a burden for carrying out the instructions of Proverbs 3, 8, and 9. Open your mouth for the speechless, in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. He asked God to make him the mouthpiece of the poor, and to help him speak for the destitute. After much prayer, the Lemuel organization was formed with a board composed of Christian businessmen and pastors who were also burdened for the poor. You can see his name, Manish Deluce, there on his office door, and up at the left, the Lemuel Projects and the list of particular activities involved in the Lemuel organization. This past year, the Lord enabled the organization to purchase a large house adjacent to the Belos campus at the entrance at the bottom of the hill with a gate for security. A rambling house hidden in the trees right adjacent to the campus gives room for the classroom. You can just see the door to go in here, and you can see the steps coming up. I must admit, that was kind of difficult for me. I thought I was able to take anything, but when I started on those steps, I realized I wasn't what I used to be. But there are the windows, all with bars, of course, and there's a door up here that's not shown that's in bars, and the office for Manish is right in there, and down below, the classrooms for the children. The receptionist for Lemuel Projects is well known here. Her name is Brunette. You remember a couple of years ago, there was a young mother who was in desperate straits. She needed a heart surgery, open heart surgery. And Ginger flew with her up to Peoria, Illinois, to a benevolent surgeon there who carried out the surgery. And at that time, we were all praying for her that the surgery might be successful. This is she. This is Brunette. And you can see now she's healthy and happy and praising the Lord for what he has done for her, and a good receptionist. Then, in this building, this rambling building, we have the barefoot school children. And of course, they're no longer barefoot. They have simple uniforms that are provided by their sponsors. There are three levels in the school. First year takes the children right off the streets and seeks to initiate them in school discipline, reading, writing, and arithmetic and Creole, Haiti's official language. The largest room downstairs holds students with a little school experience, those in second year. This is the largest class with about 30. They have more flexibility in teaching and do some work in small groups. The third year is smaller but important as the final preparation given before they leave the Lemuel School. When these children complete this year of work, they will be ready to go on to study in the Haitian school system. Hopefully, with daily exposure to biblical teaching, they will have come to know Christ as their Savior, and in that time will be able to give witness for the Lord in the secular schools. Director Manish is concerned for the spiritual welfare of the children. Each one of the school children is required to attend the Sunday morning service and the Sunday afternoon kids club. That is where Judy comes in. She is responsible for the kids club, leading them in singing in preparation for their Christmas Eve program. Later, the group is divided for a Bible lesson. Judy takes the younger group, leading them in a useful activity like DVBS and telling them the Bible story. One of the school teachers takes the teens. They have opportunity to learn Bible truths and their application in the difficult homes. They are invited to accept Christ as Savior and challenged to live for Him.
Go back and carry Christ to your homes. Haitians love music and many times respond to musical presentations of the gospel. One group of Christian young people involved with Lemuel have been trained in the musical group, the chorale called Hosanna, under Loïc, a French missionary, school teacher. Their burden is to reach unsaved teens and encourage Christian teens in the faith. They sing in city churches and also in district churches where they can get out and share the gospel with teens one-on-one. Songs with the rhythms that they like reach the hearts of the teens. Rehearsals give opportunity for chorale members to learn spiritual truths from the lyrics, and their dependence on the Holy Spirit for help in their performance gives them valuable lessons also. The vision and burden of one man has developed into a growing ministry. Now there is need for prayer support to keep the work on track. And I'd like to turn on the lights and to give you some prayer requests to go with this. You already know one request that concerns Manis Deluce himself, that he might be able to stay on track. You see, a young man like that, with all the way in which the Lord has helped him with material things to get this thing going, and you need material things, as you see in the house, and the equipment for the house, as well as the sponsors for the children, that they might be able to be trained. So to keep him on track, he is a single fellow at the moment. And people keep asking him, when are you going to get married? And he says, in the Lord's time. But I have my eye on a girl. You can pray. So please pray that the Lord might lead in the whole situation, and he is one who is anxious to have the leading of the Lord. Then a second request would be for spiritual growth in all three levels of the school, because spiritual growth is not automatic. It's only brought by the Spirit, and that's in response to prayer. They are praying. They are concerned about it. But our help is needed too. The third request you've already heard, that's for the well, that the papers might come through for the well, that it can be drilled. Steve, the well driller, we'll be going back in January. And so that sets a particular date as a goal for our prayer. The fourth is the TEE program in the development of leaders to take over when David leaves. It's all in their hands. They're doing all the work. He's advising and giving help where necessary for things that they bump up to into they haven't seen yet. But essentially, the Haitians are carrying that work on. And there are two fellows who worked with him right in the beginning, Wawa and Jacques, who are in Dallas Seminary now, and they will graduate in this May. And David says, they'll know all that I know, and they can come back and run the work themselves. And believe me, that's a point of rejoicing when you can leave and know the work is going on because they're trained leaders taking on. The fifth request is for Wawa, one of those two. Wawa was married yesterday to Marie Joyette. He was married in New York. She's a Haitian that happens to be living in America. But David said that she's promised Wawa that she'll go back to Haiti with him. If she does, it's a miracle. Because once the Haitians leave their country and get here and see all the affluence, very rarely they want to go back. They send money back. In fact, that's one of the big incomes for the Haitians. Because the Haitians work hard here. And they don't have to live like we do. They skip their pennies and send the money back to Haiti. So if she went back, it would be a miracle. But you know, God's the God of miracles, isn't he? So that's a definite fifth prayer request. So I'd appreciate if you could continue on and help Dave and Ginger with their work. Their work, but it's the work of the Lord, isn't it? And they'll be leaving in June for another assignment, another responsibility, and that they might have wisdom in all the transition that's involved in that as well. Well, that's the story that I'm able to give on Haiti. When they come back through, they'll be here in June, and perhaps we'll have opportunity for them to speak then and give you the first-hand part. But I wanted you at least to see these pictures so you can have an idea. You notice the joy of the Lord on the faces of the Christians? I didn't give you any faces of the pagans. They don't want to have their pictures taken. And I wouldn't want to get in difficulty doing that. But when the Lord comes in, the joy of the Lord is there. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for the work that thou art doing in Haiti and the little glimpse that we could have tonight. Help us in our part of prayer. And we would pray indeed for Manis in his need for sticking close to thee and his need for a wife. We pray for the spiritual growth of each one of these children that we've seen. We pray for the papers to come through for the well, for the development of the TEE Haitian leaders, and especially for Wawa in his marriage, that Marie Joyette might indeed be willing to leave the America to go to work with him in Haiti to be involved in the TEE program. We ask these things as we come with our thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.